This is Steve Dale's Pet
Steve
World.
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Got an issue with Fido or Fluffy? Steve Dale is here to help.
What's up? That felt pretty good, right?
Steve Dale's Pet World.
Oh, okay.
Whether your feline is missing the litter box or your canine doesn't like the mailman, call the show toll-free.
She said toll-free.
At 866-554-PETS.
They've done studies, you know.
That's 866-554-7387.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
So man's best friend turns out to be the cat. I mean, really, there are more cats than dogs in America. Cats are the most popular pet. They really are, and a lot of people don't know that. So we are going to celebrate the cat. After all, February is Cat Health Month. You all knew that, right? Of course you did. So we're going to celebrate cat health. We'll be talking to Dr. Valerie Tynes about that. And we'll also talk, we've talked on the show before about dog shows. We're going to talk about cat shows. What are they? What happens? Do cats really walk in circles around the ring like the dogs do at dog shows? And you have these two announcers on the side, one being David Fry, who is a frequent guest of this show. If there's a dog show anywhere worth watching, David Fry is broadcasting that show, right, for many years. He was the guy that was kind of poked fun at in, what was the name of the movie? Best in Show, right? So David's been on the show many. Do they have that at cat shows? We'll find out what really goes on at cat shows. In addition to that, there's a story that I wrote that got tons of play. It went viral, as the kids say. And it has to do with saving dogs that are imperiled because they're considered aggressive and the way in which they're trained. Now, I'm all for saving dogs. So what could I have said that caused all of this noise online? I'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Mostly, we're here for you. I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. I am standing here to answer your questions. 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387. Mark, you must have called that number, or maybe you were just thinking really hard, and that way the phone automatically connected you to me. Here yes. You are. How can I help you?
Well, so I heard your show on the radio, and I have an interesting situation with a friend's dog that involves my wife.
Oh.
Yes. So the deal is,
it's the friends.
I thought they were kidding the first time that happened. It was the first time I was over at their home. We went over, and this big boxer named Stella comes running up, and everybody starts saying to me, "Don't look her in the eyes. Don't look her in the eyes." And I'm like, "Why can't I look her in the eyes? You know, it's weird." And they're like, "Christy can't look her in the eyes, especially. Christy's my wife."
Mm-hmm.
So turns out, whenever people, and especially my wife, look this dog in the eyes, the dog starts peeing. And I found that very interesting.
Okay. Well, it's called submissive urination. Is this a young dog?
7 years.
7 years old?
Sorry, I think that term's hilarious. I'm going to start using that in my own life. yes. Submissive urination. That's great.
Uh-huh.
So the dog is 7 years old.
Yep.
And that's what it does.
Okay. So I understand that is what the dog does. The solution for this, by the way, usually, let me back up a couple steps. So usually
sure.
What we do is we see this in less secure dogs, and typically it is puppies, and oftentimes they grow out of it and or with confidence boosting, and you can boost the dog's confidence, by the way, just by simple training, as well as house training. I mean, house training could, in theory, be a part of it. Dogs generally then, as they get older, with this help, or just as I said, simply as time goes by, they kind of grow out of it, or it doesn't occur very much anymore. There are some people, individuals, that dogs feel individually a bit more intimidated by. So you probably feel that way, or maybe you don't, when you meet the big boss for the first time, right? Like you're going to pee in your pants. And that's apparently how these dogs feel, and they do not wear pants, but they do pee. So,
yes. So
the answer is what your friends suggest, and that is not to, from the dog's perspective, even though people don't mean to intimidate the dog, not to intimidate the dog. So don't reach over to pet the dog. Wait until the dog comes to you and then gently pet under the chin. And don't look the dog in the eyes is actually appropriate advice for dogs that have this problem. Some individual dogs, for reasons we don't know, it seems to happen in some breeds, maybe more than others, but we really don't know why some individual dogs cannot get past this, if you will. Maybe they've not had that confidence-boosting conversation with a dog trainer or someone who knows that even with a 7-year-old dog, you still can boost that dog's confidence, but that at the age of 7 may or may not do the trick. But certainly the advice being given is really good advice so it doesn't happen, so they don't always have to clean up the piddle. And it's like anything else with us or with dogs. The more often a dog or a person, I suppose, does something, the more often that person or dog will continue to do this something, and the less frequent. So if they can eliminate it for a couple of months, that may be helpful in itself to help eliminate that behavior from occurring.
That's very interesting.
I'm not sure any of that helps.
No, I appreciate it. I'm excited to go see the dog again and try out the new technique of, you know, petting it on the chin and letting it come to me first.
Well, yeah, and having your wife perhaps wear a blindfold.
Yes, that would be great. Sounds like my wife is intimidating this dog a little bit.
Well, I'm sure it's not on purpose, and you know it's unusual because usually it's the big brawny guys that or the guys wearing the beard or the guys with the deep voice that are most intimidating to these dogs that have this issue. But sometimes it's little kids because of the way they act, you know, running in circles unpredictably, that kind of thing. And sometimes it's idiosyncratic, and we don't know why individual people tend to do. Maybe it's your wife's odor. I don't know.
I can't wait to tell her that.
So the good news is you will be a listener now forever. The bad news is your wife will now never listen to me after hearing what I said.
Funny. Yep. Yeah, no, I appreciate the info. This has been a great moment of learning for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So the good news is we want to save them all. We are determined to save every dog and cat at an animal shelter. Are we a bit too determined? And for dogs that are considered aggressive, are we doing it right? And I say maybe we're not. I want people to adopt dogs. I want rescue organization. In fact, fostering dogs is so incredibly important. So you bring home a foster dog or a foster cat. You're a hero for doing that. Wouldn't it be cool if you could watch what that fostered animal that you don't know really well, what that animal is doing in the house when you're not home? It is now possible through the Blink protection system. Blink cameras can keep an eye on what's going on in your house. So yes, I'm sure they were originally created for safety, right? You don't want people breaking into your house. That's not a good thing. But we can do more now with technology. So we could see our own dogs, or for those who foster or rescue animals in some way or adopt them, you can see what they're doing. And that is so helpful. You could see if that cat is anxious or not. You can see if that dog is worried by looking out the window all the time, all day. Well, what if the dog is doing that? Then you talk to people like me or your veterinarian who can give you behavior advice about what to do to keep that dog or cat occupied so that dog or cat isn't anxious or nervous. Well, you're not there. Pheromone products like Feel-Away for cats, Adaptil for dogs. There are lots of things we can do. But how do you know what's happening if you're not home? Now you can know what's happening if you're not home. It's quite amazing, right? And it's very, very cool. The live feed option lets you check in anywhere you are using the Blink smartphone app. And if you're like most pet owners, you miss them like crazy, your own pets when you're away anyway. So now you could check on them around the clock, anytime, anywhere from your smartphone using the Blink camera system. And with Blink, there are no contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Starting at just $99, Blink camera systems are always a smart choice for home or business. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Steve, BlinkProtect.com/Steve, BlinkProtect.com/Steve.
You're listening to Steve Dale's Pet World.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
If your number one best friend keeps leaving you number two presents, we can help. Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
So a dog trainer gave me this idea, not on purpose, but it turned out she did, and I'm forever grateful because it made me think about something I just hadn't thought about before, and that is two things, really, that more and more dogs and shelters and rescues are being saved. Dogs considered aggressive, we can help, but can we help all of them? Is it a danger to introduce some of them back into the community? And I say the answer is yes. I say the reality is, and it's not a popular position to take among some, but the reality is you cannot save them all. We're doing a disservice to the general public and to those dogs themselves. So aggressive dogs are generally fearful. And a dog that is that aggressive that cannot be helped is terrified. No one likes to live in terror. So aside from being a danger, potentially, to the community, we're not doing that dog any good by letting that dog live when we can save other dogs who we can help. I mean, resources in reality aren't available to help every individual dog. Having said that, do not misunderstand me. Most dogs overwhelmingly can be helped with what we know today. And the great news is we're doing it. That's great news. The bad news, in some cases, how we're doing it. So there's an approach, you know, this kind of thing has to work on time. Dog trainers who do this, and generally we're talking dog trainers, not certified animal behavior consultants. I'm not worried about those guys. Not veterinary behaviorists, and I'm certainly not worried about those guys. But it's the dog trainers of various levels that do this kind of thing, and they're working on time. They're working on time because they have to. I mean, they're taking dogs up from boarding facilities in some cases, in most cases animal shelters, and sometimes they're put in boarding facilities temporarily or placed in board and train facilities, sometimes from foster homes. In any which case, they're working against the clock in a lot of different ways. And if they don't work quickly, they don't make enough money. So they're working on time here from every which way. I get that. But the just get it done approach is not acceptable to me, not anymore. And too many dog trainers use approaches, and they say they've saved the dog. What they've done is they've intimidated the dog into acting a certain way, but they haven't taught the dog. And they use some methods sometimes that are aversive, including like electronic collars, e-collars that provide a shock. So the dogs respond to that, but are they really learning? I mean, wouldn't you respond to that? Of course. And you'll do something because you have to once you understand what it is that's wanted. But trust isn't really built. And what these dogs require is a bridge of trust be built. And that doesn't happen using some of the techniques by some trainers, not everybody, that are out there trying to do the right thing in most cases, wanting to save these dogs. And I want these dogs saved too. But even if it takes a bit more time, and it doesn't always, but it might, use techniques that are humane and use techniques where you'll have long-term, or more likely, have long-term success. People have not spoken out about it because then the alternative seems to be, well, you're not in favor of saving dogs. Of course I am in favor of saving dogs. I just want to see it done in a humane, fear-free, appropriate approach. Coming up next, it's about time we do this, and that is Talk Cat Shows.
Welcome back to the only radio show that carries a little plastic bag so it can pick up after itself. Here's Steve Dale.
You know, this isn't right. I've reported on the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, which I had the honor to attend this year. We have reported. We're a part of the reporting team for the National Dog Show presented by Purina, the Beverly Hills Dog Show presented by Purina. So, you know what? What about the cats? You're right. It's about time we talk about cat shows. And that's what we're going to do right now with Carrie Plummer, the show manager of the Lincoln State Cat Show, held just outside Chicago every year for many years. Carrie, that's where I begin. For many who have never been to a cat show, and I love going to cat shows, what are cat shows all about?
Well, cat shows are all about basically showing the pedigree cat, also along with your household domestic cat. It's about exhibitors from around the world coming together, and they're competing for best cat in show, best kitten in show, and best household pet.
And it works a little differently than dog shows in a lot of different ways. One of the things that I love about cat shows, so you watch a dog show, the dogs parade around, and the judge looks generally at an older gentleman or woman who looks kind of snobby. I'm going to get in big trouble for saying that, but I mean, really? And then the judge points, that's the one. In cat shows, the judges at a table, the cats do not walk around in a circle around a ring, so the cats put on a table, and the judge handles the cat, looks at the cat, and explains to people what he or she is looking at and where this cat is compared to the breed standard, and I love that explanation.
Yes, there's 42 different breeds recognized in the Cat Fanciers Association, and all of our judges go through an extensive training program, so they are completely educated on each and every breed. And so we could have up to 225 pedigree cats in the show in competition.
And the judges do explain to the people in the crowd what they're looking at and what they like and what they don't like, and I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really awesome. They take the time as they're judging each and every cat to explain to the audience the criteria that each and every cat must meet according to its standard. And there's a big variance between all of the breeds, and it really gives the public a whole new perspective that, you know, there are so many cats in the world versus just the one cat that we see in our house.
Yeah, that's true. And as far as breeds go, I mean, so many people don't know all of these pedigreed cats that there are. Give us some examples of some of the breeds that we might not know about.
Well, one of the breeds is actually called an American Wirehair. It resembles an American domestic short hair, but it actually has a wiry coat to it. And although it has a very soft feel, when you look at the coat, you can see it's crinkled. Another really super distinctive breed is called the Selkirk Rex. This can come into a short length of coat and a long length of coat, and they actually have long, wavy fur that stands off of the body. Totally cool.
And an American short hair cat is one I've always wanted to have because I think their color patterns and their temperaments are so cool, and that's the other thing. So you look at these cats, they're gorgeous, and they have looks that you've probably never seen before for some of these breeds, but also their temperament, just like dog temperaments vary. Now, dog temperaments vary greatly on what they were bred to do originally, not the same way in the cat world. There were a few cats out there that were meant to guard or to herd sheep. However, they do have individual distinct temperaments that vary breed to breed.
Oh, totally. For instance, like the Persian and the exotic short hair, they're considered a very docile lap cat type of breed versus, say, something like a true Siamese or an Oriental short hair. They have a very active, very alert, very inquisitive, super busy bodies.
I agree. I think that, in fact, I know that breeders that go to cat shows do socialize these kittens. First of all, the cats in cat shows are so well socialized. I mean, you think of cats and you think of the cat under the bed, right? Well, these cats are saying, touch me, pet me, play with me, because they have been so well socialized from such a young age. And when you purchase a pedigree cat, usually that is the case. And you do get the personality that is aligned with whatever breed you happen to choose. Check out a cat show. It's a lot of fun. To learn more, go to CFA.org. That's Cat Fanciers Association, or the International Cat Association. And that's TICA, T-I-C-A, cathealth.org. And we're celebrating cats today anyway, because it is, as everyone knows, Cat Health Month. And Dr. Valerie Tynes will be here with some tips about how to keep our cats and our kittens healthy. But first, your calls at 866-554-PETS, 866-554-7387.
Don't you go anywhere. Stay tuned for more of Steve Dale's Pet World. Steve Dale's Pet World, a real pet expert giving advice about real pets. Yeah, we're keeping it real.
866-554-PETS. We say hello. Hello to Louise in California. Hi.
Oh, hello. Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm okay, but I'm worried about the animals out here. I'm in California. And,
well, I'm worried about California in general, but that's a whole other story. So what's going on? Why are you worried?
There's a dog park right near here, and I'm involved in dogs and all kind of things. So I go there a lot, and then they have these local farmer markets and that, and they're pushing the wanting to sell this homemade cookies and treats with the CBD oil in it.
Uh-huh. That's a relative of hemp, I believe.
Right.
Otherwise by some called marijuana. Right?
Yeah. Well, I've done some research, and apparently it's safer than marijuana.
Yes. So I understand. I'm no expert on marijuana, but I believe that is absolutely the case. So here's the thing. First of all, never buy any pet product if you don't know who's making the pet product. So having nothing to do with hemp or a relative of hemp, just in general, if you don't know who's baking the dog cookies, don't buy them. I mean, really, that's the because there are some strange people out there who sell things that are actually bad for dogs on purpose. So worse than that, in certain places periodically around the country, I hear about this maybe just happily only once or twice a year, but if it happens to your pet, it's too often, where a dog scarfs up a piece of hot dog or chicken found at the dog park or in a park, and it's left there by someone on purpose, and it's tainted with poison, you know? So never give your pet something and you don't know what it is. Now, grander issue, we've had experts on the show. I'm not one of them, but we've had experts on the show who say this. That, first of all, what you said is true. I mean, we're not talking literally marijuana. So I mentioned marijuana so people understand the class that we're talking about. And it's not considered a drug. And it is, in fact, legal in many states to offer pets this. But what are we offering pets? We don't know. And we don't know the effects. So potentially, same for people. You know, it's pain relief and anti-anxiety relief. And for dogs suffering cancer or cats who might be even thinking outside the litter box because of anxiety specifically, maybe these products can help. And some work is now first being done to investigate this, but we don't know. And we also don't know dosages. So absolutely, if you get a product like this, only do it through your veterinarian. And if people are just selling this stuff, if they're like drug pushers at the dog park, that's weird. And I really think that that's not the right place to purchase these products. So these people are just appearing at a dog park saying, here are cookies for $9.99.
Yeah, and on the Facebook and all over the place now. It's
really
horrible. Oh, and they say to use the shampoo even. There's shampoo with CBD oil. There's all kind of other stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure. First of all, I'm no toxicologist or pharmacologist, so I'm not sure that the shampoo is particularly a good idea.
Because yeah, I'm just not... stay away from all this stuff.
Well,
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But for sure, stay away from the shampoo because I'm not even sure how that would work. Again, not my expertise, but I don't believe that would even work. Secondly, again, any product where you don't know the person selling the product to you and it's not a legitimate company, and in the case of what we're talking about, specifically approved by your veterinarian, I would stay away from it.
All right, wonderful.
And
can
I'm
I
so,
phone you and have you go all over California and tell all these people that?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So I may do a blog post on it now. And incidentally, you could follow my blog post on my Facebook fan page, and that's facebook.com, Steve Dale, Pet World.
Okay.
Because you gave me a very good idea about something to write about, because if it's happening where you are, it's probably happening elsewhere too. And if it's happening on Facebook, that's a huge concern. I mean, people should not be buying products that have impact of a pharmaceutical, even if it isn't specifically a pharmaceutical, if it has the same impact and potentially can be dangerous, because again, we don't know dosages about all this stuff. I am for it. I love the idea of it, but it needs further investigation. I think that veterinarians can begin supporting this notion, but it's a case-by-case basis, and the veterinarian needs to be involved. Also, in general, for reasons I mentioned, I'm always concerned, always, about buying products from companies, from non-companies, from individuals, and you don't know their background or their motivation. Their motivation may be right, but do they have quality control, even if it is right? So I wouldn't buy something like that. It's not just a dog biscuit. I wouldn't buy something like that from an individual, but rather from a company that's going to be responsible for their product.
Yeah, especially themselves. If they're using the marijuana, they may not be thinking clearly or whatever.
I suppose.
Anyway, like you said, they have maybe ulterior motives. And then if we have time, also, I'm on other places, and I see people giving straight-up marijuana to their dogs. And I reported him on Twitter.
Good, because that's...
They're saying that it's okay for arthritis and anxiety. Straight up the marijuana. And of course, that's wrong, correct?
Yes, it is wrong, and you are correct. We don't know. Same thing. The products that you mentioned first, we believe they are absolutely, in general, safer than marijuana, but we don't know dosage and we don't know exactly safe for what, under what circumstances. Giving straight marijuana to pets can actually be very dangerous.
Right.
But again, may be beneficial. We just don't know. We don't know.
And it's still a foreign substance we're introducing. It's not natural. They don't go running around dogs eating that in nature.
I don't believe so.
No.
They would be very happy and hungry dogs, but I don't believe so.
All right. Well, marijuana apparently isn't even native to America. It was brought in.
From where?
My understanding is, I could be wrong, but came in via Spain or something, via Mexico, when they did the conquest, came in from Spain into Mexico, and then made its way up to here. And the Indians, I've studied locally, I'm a docent for the local Indians here, the mission and all that, and they never used the marijuana. That's just Hollywood hype.
Huh.
They put in the pipes to smoke. It's a local, was a local plant. Sometimes it was just whatever. It wasn't. They've never used marijuana in America. It's not here. It never was.
Well, I don't have knowledge of that, but I'll trust your knowledge. I know something was in those.
I don't think dogs would eat that.
Something was in those peace pipes, and I think that maybe leaders of countries ought to smoke some of that now. Anyway, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, and Steve, thank you. I'm sincere. Thank you for what you're doing. We love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. All right, bye.
And I think the point there is a good one. The point is that the grander points, never buy anything for your pets if you don't know exactly where it's coming from. So if your neighbor makes cookies for your dog and you know your neighbor, fine. But if your neighbor is putting a pharmaceutical in there for your dog, not so fine. And if it's not your neighbor, if it's from a source you don't know, then I don't know. I'd have second thoughts about it. Our phone number is 866-554-PETS. You can email me, steve@stevedale.tv. That's one way to reach us, the other by telephone. 866-554-PETS. Our email question, of course, like the whole show, we are celebrating cats. And we'll talk about nothing to celebrate, but I will answer some questions about a cat with diabetes next. When do you want to spot that burglar? When he's casing your home or after he's in? Ask John, whose Blink camera alerted him of burglars trying to break in while he and his family were home. Or Shannon, whose Blink camera caught a thief stealing packages. Both times, Blink video clips were sent to police to help convict the crooks. Blink motion-activated indoor and outdoor cameras are wire-free, set up in minutes, and run on two long-lasting AA batteries. And the live feed option lets you check in from anywhere using the Blink smartphone app. And if you're like most pet lovers, you miss them like crazy when you're away. What if you could check in on them anywhere, anytime from your smartphone so you know they're doing fine? You can with the totally affordable Blink camera system. And with Blink, there's no contracts, no subscriptions, and Blink works with Alexa. Starting at just $99, Blink camera systems are always a smart choice for home and business. Visit BlinkProtect.com/Steve. BlinkProtect.com/Steve. BlinkProtect.com/Steve.
Right now, in your own backyard, there's a restless, hungry crowd waiting to be fed. It's not your in-laws who visit every summer like a recurring nightmare. I'm talking about parasites, ravenous fleas, starving mosquitoes, ticks with empty bellies, all looking for their next meal.
Is that Labradoodle I smell?
Don't let these famished little fiends make a meal of your dog.
Well, I'm going to engorge myself.
Get the unmatched protection of Vectra 3D. Vectra 3D quickly repels and kills hungry parasites, fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, and other biting pests. Vectra 3D has more kinds of protection than any other flea and tick brand, and it's only available from your veterinarian. Get up to $25 in savings with purchase. Please don't feed the parasites.
Say hello to Rover, a.k.a. dinner.
Let's eat. Please go first.
My mouth parts are watery.
AB negative, my favorite.
Visit your veterinarian for Vectra 3D or VectraPet.com to learn more.
It's flu season, and in addition to protecting yourself and your family from the flu, you also need to protect your dog. Like human flu, both strains of canine flu are highly contagious and can cause runny nose and eyes, cough, fever, pneumonia, and in rare cases, even death. Don't worry, a new vaccine covers both strains of canine influenza. That means better protection for half the injections. Don't wait, vaccinate. Contact your veterinarian or visit doginfluenza.com to learn more.
The only radio show for the whole family that often advises using toys with feathers.
I miss my little kitty cat.
Welcome back to Steve Dale's Pet World.
I am so much in favor of these laws that are passing around America to prevent dogs and cats from being sold at pet stores. We'll talk more about that next week on the show, and we'll also have a lesson in Kitten 101, and millennials are finally, it's about time, doing something really good to help our pets.
Three simple words.
You got mail.
Woohoo!
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.
Dear Steve, my cat was diagnosed as a diabetic. I'm heartbroken. Emails Paula in Ohio. What do I do? I certainly don't want to give a shot to my cat. Well, diabetes is a serious illness, and I'm not going to suggest it's not. Having said that, lots of good news here. First of all is that you caught it. And many people do catch it only by the time the cat is very, very sick. And at that point in time, it's an uphill battle that typically is won. You know, cats often die of other things. They don't die of diabetes because it can be controlled. So when you go to the veterinarian, which you did, and you understand what has to be done, and you do it, sometimes even cats go into remission, which is wonderful. No more insulin needed. But for now, yeah, you've got to give the cat a shot. Now, as cats, let's have a vote here. Cats, would you rather have a shot or a pill? There is no pill for insulin, but let's say there was. What would the cats vote for? They're voting for the shot. Have you ever tried to give a cat a pill? So, well, there's a technique to doing it, and veterinary professionals and many others who have cats have got it down. The cats also have got it down, or they don't get it down, if you know what I mean. They're very good at not accepting pills. Well, that's not an issue. So what you do is if you could have help, all the better, is to have someone give moist food or baby food without onions or something really good to the cat on one end while you're giving the shot to the cat on the other end. Most cats don't even know it's happening if you're fast, you know? And doing it over and over and over, you'll get pretty good at it, no question about it. Now, most cats that are diabetic overwhelmingly are overweight or obese. So if we can gradually, under veterinary guidance, get that weight down, then many cats with increased exercise, so the metabolism changes. And yes, by playing with a cat, you can exercise a cat. We're not talking about doing marathons. We're just talking about a couple of daily play sessions, as well as getting that food intake to the point that your cat is gradually losing weight. Then often, not always, but often, diabetes actually goes into remission. So there really is some good news with all of this. Email your questions to Steve at stevedale.tv. Coming up next, Dr. Valerie Tynes is here to help us celebrate Cat Health Month.
Officially sanctioned by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
This is Vets on Pets.
That's where Steve talks to the vets about your pets.
Don't worry, this won't hurt a bit.
It is a reason to party. It is a reason to celebrate. February is Cat Health Month. Woo, I'm excited about that. Veterinary behaviorist Dr. Valerie Tynes is here to share that excitement with me. Thing about cats is they don't always tell you how they feel about things, and especially when they're not feeling well.
That's right. Cats are excellent at hiding signs of illness. And it's really distressing to me as a veterinarian that while cats are starting to outnumber dogs, and as far as how many pets
they do already
there are in our homes, yes, they do not see the veterinarian nearly as often as dogs. So there's a lot of misconceptions, I think, about whether or not cats need to see the veterinarian. And the fact is they do. Cats have a lot of health conditions that if only they could be caught earlier, they could be treated more successfully and probably less expensively. So we need to consider getting cats into the veterinary clinic.
So how do you know if something is wrong? So yes, absolutely everything you just said. Regular exams in my world, twice a year is the right thing to do. So yes to that. But how do you know your cat isn't feeling well? I would argue that cats often do tell us, but they're communicating in the way cats communicate, which is very different in the way we communicate.
It can be very, very subtle. For example, I'll tell people to simply look for the fact that their cat maybe doesn't want to be petted as much as usual. Let's say it's a very friendly cat normally, and now he doesn't want to be petted. Alternatively, it can be a cat that is normally not that friendly. Now, all of a sudden, he's seeking you out and being extremely friendly. So any change in behavior might signal that a cat is not feeling good. We don't want to wait until a cat isn't eating, really, because when a cat quits eating, that usually means they're very, very sick. Mm-hmm. Cats often
And when they stop eating, it could lead to another problem, fatty liver disease,
exactly.
Which can exasperate whatever else is going on and, in fact, can even be fatal, potentially.
That's absolutely correct. And it is one of the dangers a lot of people are unaware of, that for maybe a dog to go off their food for a day or two might not be a big deal. I know my little dog, she's a little bit overweight. No, I was going to say she could go off her food for a day or two and it would not hurt her. I'm afraid that's the case with many of our pets. But for cats, going off food for a while, a day or two, can not only be a sign that they're very sick, but can be dangerous to them.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
So one thing we talk about and should talk about and we are talking about, and that's physical health. But the other thing that I think is important that this world of veterinary medicine is now talking about, and that is, if you will, mental health as well.
That's right. We're starting to understand that cats can be more likely to become physically sick when they are mentally stressed. And they can be mentally stressed by things that we don't think of as being that important. For example, going away for the weekend and just leaving a big old bowl of food and not having someone clean the cat's litter box for 2 or 3 days. That can be stressful for some cats.
And these sorts of things, whether it be Uncle Joe coming to visit you, whether it be the construction people doing whatever they do in your house, all of
exactly.
these things, the cat demonstrating whatever the cat is doing, say the cat is piddling now on your bed, the cat is never doing that because the cat wants to get back at you.
Absolutely.
The cat's trying to tell you something else.
Exactly. People really do seem to kind of go down this path of, oh, the cat's mad at me. And I really try to always remind them, oh, your cat is definitely feeling something. He's experiencing an emotion, but it is very rarely vengeance or spite. It is usually distress, anxiety, even fear sometimes. And those things can make cats ill. And one of the illnesses that they can get actually affects their bladder. So one of the first things I tell people to do if they have a cat urinating outside of the box is to go see their veterinarian, because there are several medical conditions that can cause that.
Yeah. In fact, I was just talking to a veterinarian who's now one of your colleagues, veterinary behaviorist, who was telling me, well, when I was in private practice, she said literally half, 50% of those cats that came in with behavior issues, yes, they were having behavior issues, but once she resolved the medical problem, those behavior issues either went away automatically or could be more easily dealt with.
I think as time goes on, we are learning more and more about that intricate combination that physical health and mental health have together.
And they are.
They work together.
That's it. It's hard to separate them out.
Absolutely.
All right, let's celebrate the cat.
Let's celebrate the cat.
It is the month of the cat.
They deserve it.
Yes, they do. Dr. Valerie Tynes, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Pet stores should not be selling dogs and cats. We explain why next week.
This is a Ricky Ricardo production.
Be good to your pets. They'll be good to you. We will talk to you next time.
You can always email your questions to steve@petworldradio.net.